Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe. It's a Tom E. Tuesday with Tommy Curran. We'll get to Curran, NBC Sports Boston, in just a moment. We got Keefe for Madness for you at 12:45. Keith McPherson from WFAN. We're going to talk Red Sox Yankees in the 1 o'clock hour. Get the New York perspective on that. Plus, if you missed our tiers, on a Tier Tuesday, they are up now at Jones and Keefe. All the MLB playoff teams tiered off. Plus the New York Mets. We decided to take
toss
a shot
them
at them.
In there. They were so close.
Forgot to take our shot at Rafael Devers.
Yeah, that's on us.
So we got to get back to that. But as promised, it is Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tommy Curran, how are we doing this week?
I am on top of the world. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. We checked out your latest at NBC Sports Boston. I know you think the Patriots delivered a proof of concept victory over the Carolina Panthers this weekend. Why do you feel that way?
Because they played on defense, save for the first drive, the way that you expect and hope them to. They played offensively, intelligently. They didn't have an excessive number of penalties. They made plays on special teams. But the most important proof of concept was, if you want to extract yourself from being in the bottom quarter of the league, anywhere between 25 and 32, you have to start showing separation between yourself and those teams. And this was the first time that they showed, if we play well and up to our capability, we can win by 29, should have been 36 points, because we're not those teams anymore. So that, to me, I think was the most interesting. And when you look at the four games, they have riddled their feet with bullet holes in the two losses. And one was by 7 points and one was by 6 points. They're a little bit better than we expected. And I know that the pitching is batting practice level, but that's the way the league is right now, too.
What did you think of the sort of message sent where Ramondre Stevenson plays, he starts, and he gets the very first carry of the game?
I think Mike is really trying to thread the needle of, I'm going to show these guys I believe in them, and the more I do that and show faith in them, the more they will adhere to or understand that I'm part of this team, and I'm going to give everything I can to this team and buy in to the culture and the leadership that Mike is dispensing. So I think that was good. It was certainly a risk, because had he fumbled, then it's, as I said last week, that would have been on the coaching staff just as much as the player, because they knew that he was a little dented mentally. But I thought it was interesting, and Mike, again, is trying to thread the needle between the urgency that is presumed because they should be better with a better coaching staff, a second-year Drake May, and still realizing that this roster still is not top-tier in a lot of spots.
You mentioned the slow starts and how strong they were defensively outside of that. Do you see like an overlapping theme there or a correlation in some of these games? Why the slow starts, and how do they get that fixed?
Just to hear Mike explain it, he sounded yesterday when he was talking about it as if guys are trying to do a little too much. You spend all week doing one thing, and then the game starts, and you're overexcited, and you overcommit. So tempering that level of enthusiasm and just trying to start calm might be part of it. And I also think that teams have a good script, and how quickly can you adjust? You know, last week, Pittsburgh absolutely riddled them on the first two drives, and then they adjusted and calmed down. Mike, I think, literally used the words calm down. So I think those two things are working in concert.
What did you think of Mike Vrabel yesterday being asked about Josh McDaniels, and his first response was, you know, it's everybody on offense, you know, not just Josh?
I don't know whether that's what we in the media would presume it to be, or if it's just a normal, hey, let's divvy up the credit here. A lot of guys are doing good things, and we in the media, on the other hand, presume it to be, well, it was on a platter for him, and he couldn't say a nice thing. And I don't know. I mean, it's worth asking. If it is on a platter and you pass on the opportunity to say that, my God, he's been unbelievable. If you look at the production of Drake May to be a top five passer in so many different categories, I mean, it's not our receivers. So, yeah, Josh has been incredible. I mean, you wouldn't say the receivers part, but I think that Josh McDaniels is right there along with the offensive line improvement, the biggest difference, because that's what you're extracting Drake May's performance from. Better protection, better play calls, understanding the strengths of a average at best group of skill position players collectively, and then say, well, what can we do to make the kid better? And they found that through four games.
Let's stick with Drake May for a moment with this week's Drake Take from Tommy Curran, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Drake is getting a lot of national love, a case that he is arguably the best quarterback in the 2024 draft class. We played a clip from Colin Cowherd today saying the Patriots have the guy, renew season tickets. Rich Eisen is comparing him to Brady and Manning and Kurt Warner and Aaron Rodgers and the starts and stretches they got off to in MVP seasons. Do you think Drake is deserving of the national hype that he's getting? We've been giving him quite a bit locally. Those are some examples of the national hype. Do you think he's worthy of it?
I always think the national hype is behind and not as deep drilling as the local. Like, are they noticing that again this past week against Carolina, his first throw of the game was into traffic and could have been a pick and could have been a repeat of the same issues that we've seen at the beginning of games? They're not scrutinizing that. They don't read the whole book. They just read a page here and there. So
they're like high school me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
First paragraph, last paragraph.
Yes.
Figure out the rest. Spark notes. Yeah.
I'm having a long, ongoing debate, discussion, argument with Phil, in which I'm saying that Drake May might already be a top seven passer in the league, but I don't know if he's a top 12 quarterback. The difference is quarterbacking includes decision-making, accuracy, calm, and he's showing great improvement, but in two of the four games, you can trace Drake's mistakes to the reasons that they lost. But you can also trace, definitely in Miami, his efficiency. So is he becoming a quarterback? Yes, he is a terrific passer in terms of running this offense right now and taking what's in front of him. I mean, we understand he wants to be a gunslinger. I think his average depth of target is among the lowest in the league because those are easy throws, and his completion percentage is the highest in the league. Those are great strides for him to make.
Now that Christian Gonzalez is back on the field, is your understanding just, hey, this was a tricky hamstring injury that took 7 or 8 weeks to get back on the field? It's just one that, you know, he wanted to be 100% before he went on there? Or, you know, what do you think really happened there with Gonzalez and his eventual return?
It got a little muddy at the end because Gonzalez insisted he wanted to play the week prior, didn't play, and then when he was out there, he played every snap the other day. So I think it's interesting. The Patriots were anxious to get him back. They tried so hard to say we're not frustrated with him, but the subtext to so much of it seemed as if they were frustrated with the pace. I don't have a conclusive take on the enigmatic injury suffered by Christian Gonzalez, but I don't think it's over in terms of how will the Patriots view him going forward. Will he be one of the most rugged, tough, answer the bell, he's banged up as hell, but he keeps playing through it, guys? Or will this continue? And that remains to be seen, because I don't think that there's a lot of blood and guts players in the NFL anymore who are willing to say, I'll do whatever I can for the team and put my health in the balance, at least not in the way they used to.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And there's a reason for that, and it's because the money is so astronomical. They grow up in an NIL atmosphere. They're able to understand that they are personal corporations who can set up generations of their family. So I don't begrudge them the decision to say, I'm going to do what's best for me here. I know I want to play. I'd love to play. But I have to do what's best and reasonable for me no matter how much you need me. So I think that it bears watching, and it bears watching with every player, and it bears watching across the league. How the mentality of, look, I'm going to do what's best for me here. I understand what you want, but I do have to put myself first.
What did you see out of Stephon Diggs on Sunday? And I guess put another way, did you see anything different out of Diggs usage-wise? He was in the slot more. He played more snaps. There were more explosive plays. Do you think that was a product of who they were facing in Carolina? Do you think that's a product of him getting healthier, the way they're utilizing him? How did you see that play out on Sunday?
I think there was a little bit of zone being played, and he's so friggin' smart, and he runs with such good pace in terms of understanding, okay, I go 60 here, and now I'm going to go up to 80, and then I'm going to slow down. So I just think he's got incredible mastery of the nuances that Drake May really needs. I was on the 33-yard reception across the middle as he was running. I said, wow, he's not very fast. And like Tatum, it's still eye-opening to think that this guy is playing as many snaps as he is so soon after his ACL. I know Achilles is different, but this guy's playing football, which, you know, you can get your leg wrecked in a hurry, as we saw last night. So it's pretty amazing to me. But I also thought what was interesting was the ability to back shoulder that he showed on two different occasions, especially down the right sideline when he had that back shoulder throw that got them inside the 10-yard line. Just, it's good that May, can you imagine May hooking up like that with Devontae Parker? I mean, that's what was passing as their number one.
Yeah.
That was their number one receiver.
Jalen Polk or something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Juju.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah, that, don't think so. What have you thought so far, four games into Will Campbell's career?
Excellent. It's really, really good. Watch the first play of the game last week, if you can. And he just absolutely rototills the guy that he's blocking and then lands on him.
Is that 11? He threw 11 to the ground. I don't even know who that was, but I know the play you're talking about, Tom. Yeah.
Belly flopped on him. He's been great. I mean, the offensive line to me is the number one story of this team's success. That's why they're good. That's why Drake May has the opportunity to be who he's becoming. And nothing else would work if they were not at least, and this, I'm looking at it and they're still probably like the, you know, I don't know where they would fit in the NFL in terms of offensive line units, but they're probably not top 5 or 10, but it just looks somewhat competent or higher than competent that you're like, my God, he's got all day. We're just not accustomed to seeing that.
What sort of chance are you giving them in Buffalo on Sunday night?
I still think they have some idiocy left in them. I do. I don't think that one game of tremendous intelligence and efficiency and great responsibility against a team that didn't test them at home is enough data to show that they're ready to do that in Buffalo against a team that won't blink, that is the best team in the NFL and the odds on favorite to go to and win the Super Bowl. They have to play almost perfect to stay within a touchdown all game. They have to play almost perfect and not make mistakes. If they can play mistake-free and lose 27-17, you know, there's not back-breaking penalties. There's not mind-numbing turnovers. The third-down conversions that Josh Allen makes, you look at it and go, well, what are you going to do? He's the best player in the league. He's got a guy hanging off him, and he throws it 45 yards downfield, and there was a guy there and they caught it. I mean, those are the things that you'd say, okay, well, Buffalo's better. But if they fumble, get picked off, make panic decisions, throw inaccurately, cannot clear people out of spaces, have delay of game penalties, are inefficient on special teams, then you say, well, not ready yet. Not panicking because you have New Orleans and Cleveland and Tennessee and you guys probably, and the Jets and the Giants, just a litany of teams that you can still get to 7-3 or 8-3 without really losing your mind. Isn't that unbelievable? Like Cincinnati.
Well, no, that's what I was going to say, Tom. I was, you know, going into the season, one of the reasons why a lot of us predicted them to have a bunch of wins was really based on their opponents. And it's actually even gotten easier. Like, no Joe Burrow. Lamar Jackson's banged up. We'll see what happens. That's late in the season. But Tyreek Hill, you won't see him in the second go around. Malik Nabers, you won't see him in that Giants game. So, yeah, you have the two Buffalo games. I think Baker Mayfield and Tampa are good. We'll see what Baltimore looks like. That's it. Like, and Baltimore's defense is terrible. So it's like,
that's the whole
the
list.
Schedule. Yeah. Yeah. Like, those are the remaining tough games. So even if you lose, yeah, it would knock the wind out of everybody's sails if the Bills blow them out. But then you can easily bounce back with four straight games where you're going to be favored in.
Yeah. It was interesting the other day, too. I think it was Dave Canales was talking about the Patriots and saying that, well, Mike kind of just does what he does and they do it well and they do it efficiently. And there was conversation as to whether or not that was insulting. I think it was on the Sunday morning show, actually, we were discussing it, or they would before I came on. Mm-hmm. And there's no shame in that. And that's actually how the Patriots should be. Look, if you're good with your three wood off the tee, don't pull out your driver to try and make a point. Mm-hmm. Just keep hitting the three wood. What difference does it make? So if they're good at playing a particular way and they don't shoot themselves in the foot when they play a particular way, do that. Because that should be enough to help you beat these teams like that are taking on water, like Tennessee or Cleveland or whoever else.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I'm curious for your perspective on this. You've covered sports in this town for a long time. You know, 20 years ago, Patriots regular season games versus Red Sox and Yankees in October would be an afterthought. I'm curious what you think of the state of the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry playoff game tonight within the city compared to how the Patriots are viewed, how Red Sox-Yankees used to be viewed, your perspective on how that's changed over the last, call it, 20 years.
I think consuming the Red Sox has changed so drastically. You know, it was really the early 90s, late 90s that fed into the fever of the early 2000s. Look, if they won a World Series, people were going to lose their minds anyway because it had been so long. But the Ortiz, Manny, Garcia Parra, Rodriguez, the dalliance with Rodriguez, the fact George Steinbrenner, he was still alive, right?
Oh, yeah.
Steinbrenner, it just harkened back. The link was still there. Consuming the Red Sox now is so different. It's to me, and I think as we get older, we have less time to spend 3 hours a night, five nights a week. It's like watching, you know, a three-hour movie, five or seven, six nights a week. You're not going to do it. But so it's harder to consume, and the players are more transitory. It's harder to develop that night-to-night affection. Now, the guys that I play golf with, the guys that I hang around with, there's a lot of them who spend a ton of time watching the Red Sox. It's different now than it was 2 or 3 years ago. But I think the Red Sox have become such an afterthought, too. And I think the Patriots were such a dramatic, easy-to-follow, transcendent team with so many storylines that they just rototilled the Red Sox, who were uninteresting for many years.
All right.
In many years.
Yeah, it's been a while. Tommy Curran, you can check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. Again, the latest is up there. It is a statement game for the Patriots. And on top of that, they make a point against Carolina with a proof of concept. You can also check him out at Tom E. Curran on Twitter. Tom, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here on Jones and Keefe. He joins WEEI afternoons on Thursdays, so check him out there as well, plus all over NBC Sports Boston. He mentioned those Canales comments. We never really talked about that on our show. We were texting about it.
I understand how it could come across as an insult, but I don't think it was meant, and I wouldn't take it as such.
I would, whether he meant it as one or not, I can't speak to. I would take that as an insult.
But I think it's
we don't do anything, but what we do, we're really good at, which, by the way, I don't even think they had been good at through the first 3 weeks. I don't even know how accurate
he was actually kind of propping them up more so, because at that time they were 1-2, and you'd be like, well, they turn it over, they have a lot of penalties. So actually what you're saying, I don't even agree with, but I just mean they're not a team that has four different players in motion before the snap, and they're not doing these like crazy things defensively. So I know what he meant, but it makes it sound like
oh, like you can't do that kind of stuff. So we choose not to do
You're basic.
That. Yeah.
You're simple. Yeah. They don't do what we do over here. Like, I would take that as a shot.
But I think that's like a young coach that probably hasn't done a million press conferences, and he's actually just trying to talk about how he views the other team. And so if you choose to take it as an insult, go ahead. But I don't think that's what he meant.
No. I wish I knew comments like that before I bet him plus 1,600 for coach of the year.
Yeah, he might be the first coach fired the way things are going.
Well, I think Brian Callahan might have the market cornered on that. Mike McDaniel, big win last night. That's a bounce back for him. He's off the hot seat.
He's got no Tyreek Hill the rest of the year.
Your guy Daboll won.
Daboll did win, and he's got the Saints this week. So he might about to go on a little bit of a heater with Jackson Dart.
Nice little streak.
Yeah, he might be safe another year.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.